Thanks, Dad. And, today I'm going to present the operation protocols overview and focus on the CPAC. Basically, like extension to the Elisa session. Now I'm trying to connect the protocols. Like, what are the protocols that are involved to enable the CPAC infrastructure?
Agenda of this session is talking about purpose of the document and
what is covered high level,
and what are the protocol docs covered in this document, and what are the protocol docs referenced from this document, and giving a little overview on the syntax in terms of the protocol, and talking about the new identity concept,
compound identity,
and providing the syntax functional architecture.
Like, when you have all the environment is Windows 8, then how? What are the protocols are involved? Or if there's a down level, it's client is trying to connect the file share, what are the protocols are involved? How this infrastructure works?
And talking about the client transformation,
like which Elisa discussed, this is the client definitions are specific to the forest. If there is a authentication request is coming to the different forest, what are the rules are applied? Little overview on that and providing the examples in terms of the file access protocols.
Yeah, the purpose of this document is to provide a overview of the functionality and relations of the protocols, operation protocols, in an informative way. And we have a well-defined overview template. This document is going to adhere that template. This document primarily covers various authorization models exist in Windows, like a discovery access control model and a claim-based access control model, and RBAC, which is the operation manager based, and complex roles access control model. And the CPAC is an extension to the DAC existing Windows DAC discovery access control model. And this document is to try to connect protocols involved in all these operation models. And this like protocol communications involved and relationship to other protocols, like basically authentication protocols and application protocols. What are the application protocols involved, and what are the auth protocols involved? And system use cases, like in terms of authorization, what are the use cases involved? Is going to this document is discuss that. And this document primarily covers on CPAC examples. This is the development of this document. Primarily, it has four sections. The section one provides the conceptual overview of the various authorization models. And section two talk about the functional architectures. And basically, in the DAC side, we have protocol communication. When application is requesting the access request, and there is a protocol, like if it is COBOS involved, what are the authorization protocols involved? And if it is NTLM, what is the authorization data structures involved? And in the same case for digest and SSL. And talking about the internal components, like what are the components are involved for this enter authorization model? And in terms of the CPAC model, providing the big architecture of the CPAC, like what are the protocols involved? And then there is a section on down level scenarios. Like that down level, like where is it? Down level client is trying to connect CPAC file server. Then what are the protocols involved? And providing the overview on the client transformation. In the same case, there is a section on the RBAC, Authorization Manager RBAC model, and complex roles access control model. And we have a section on the use case of the authorization protocols. Like basically it covers the file server and Active Directory as a resource managers. And examples try to talk about what happens like when is the application is trying to connect to the Kerberos, and the Kerberos service ticket has both user and device clients. What is the prerequisite to access that? And when the service ticket doesn't have a client, the case like where I have a Windows 7 client and I have a Windows 8 file server I'm trying to connect. The Windows 7 client, Kerb, doesn't have the capability to carry the clients to the file server. Then file server is going to fetch the client on behalf of the user. And the same case for NTLM protocol. Now, irrespective of the version of the client, either Windows 8 or Windows 7, NTLM doesn't have the capability to carry the clients. Then if it's coming to the request as an NTLM auth part, then how the file server is going to fetch the claims and on behalf of the user. These are the protocol docs covered in this document, and that's a part of the distinct access control model, the PAC data structure, which is like privileged attribute data structure document, and the other document is RAA, remote authorization API protocol. This protocol is primarily like a simulation of the access control relation. It will provide some administrative interface where you can you can simulate the access control conditions. This includes even clients as well. And there is a document, the DTYP, which Neil mentioned today's morning. This is like a data type document, but this has useful information with respect to authorization, like various authorization data structures, and as well, it talks about access check algorithms. This document is updated for the latest CBAC access check algorithm as well. And with respect to CBAC, as I mentioned earlier, CBAC is accessible to the existing DAC model, but there are new protocols introduced to enable the CBAC infrastructure. There's a protocol called GPCAP. This is say for example, you have configured some policies on the Active Directory, then group policy server, how those policies are pushed to the file server. Like as Alyssa mentioned, like you can set some policies, central access policies onto the file server. Then this is a protocol enables to push those policies onto the file server based on the time interval or on demand. There is a protocol on CAPR. This protocol is like a central access policy identifier retrieval protocol. This is basically for a file server administrator. As a file server administrator, you want to know like what central access policies are pushed onto the file server. Then you can choose a file server administrator, like FSRM interface. It will provide way to a file server administrator to configure the policies. Say there is, for example, there is a file server. It has a 10 central access policies are pushed into the file server. Now, as a file server administrator, you can choose what policies you want to apply into the file server. And there's a document on CTA, which is a client transformation algorithm. This document is talks about when you have a different forest, then you need to transform the clients from one forest to other forest. These documents provide algorithms and rules and grammars associated with that. And there's a remaining protocol system as that. And as part of AZM and RBAC, there's a protocol data structure document on AZMP, authorization, manager policy file format. And these two protocols are enabled. Like say, for example, you have a policy configured onto the file server. SMB is a protocol that carries authorization policy onto the application server. And the TDS, you can configure the policies on the SQL server. Then TDS is a carrier to carry that policies onto the application server. And complex roles authorization model, there's a document on complex application protocol. This protocol has interface, admin interface, where you can set the role configuration specific to the complex roles. And this document, SGOD, is trying to connect other overview documents for the authentication information. And for these protocols, AuthorSuite is referred to provide authentication information. And for file system, in a CPAC example, I have taken a file scenarios. There for information on the file system protocols, it's connected to the FSOD. This is a file access system overview document. That will try to connect to the member technical documents, SIPs and SMB2 protocols. And ADOD is like Active Directory overview document. And there are many cases LDAP is involved in this infrastructure. Then this document, AGOD, refers to ADOD. AGOD refers to ADOD document, overview document, and that in turn refers to the ADTS document, which is like Active Directory technical specification. CBAC is like a, I'm going to give a little overview on the CBAC. CBAC is an access control parameter, and which is extension to the DAC. It primarily uses clients to control access to the resources. This CPAC is built upon the condition AC feature. In condition AC feature, where you can set a condition under file share saying that if the user's title is PM, give me access. Now there is a notion of the resource property here. In case of CBAC, now you can associate this PM property centrally through resource property. And as Elissa explained, central access policies are the centralized authorization policies. There you can centrally push onto the policies onto the file server. And it contains one or more access rule. And access rule primarily contains three parts. One is a target. What is the target you are trying to apply this rule? And the rules. Rules can be like something like this. Allow, read, if the user country is same as resource country, and user department is resource department, and device country is resource country. Then allow full control, user, member of payroll admin. And there is a other field called exception. You can give, say, for example, you want to give access to this finance document outside the payroll admin group. Then you can provide exceptions to do that. I'm going to little bit talk about the component identity authorization. In Windows 8, inerts into the user, even a device can authenticate, and it, in the packed data structure, is updated for carrying the claims associated with the device. The component identity is like combination of user and computer's authorization data. Basically, Kyle extends the task to support the component identity. First is like a flexible authentication secure tunneling, and I'm going to talk about what is about that little bit. And Michiko is going to go a little deeper onto that. Okay, before going to this steps, I want to talk about flexible authentication secure tunneling is like it provides a protected channel between client and KDC. Now it's available primarily for it's available only for AS and TCS exchanges. For AS exchanges, it uses the computer TCP to protect AS exchanges. For TCP exchanges, it uses the user's TCP to protect the TCP exchanges. Now, coming to this, compound identity uses the TCS request, which is explicitly armed by the compound computer TCP. And this is mandatory for this compound identity authorization is mandatory for accessing the CBAC file share, which has user and device claims, like a central access policy containing both user and device claims. I'm going to little talk about the functional architecture and what are the protocols are involved in the CBAC infrastructure. The entities involved in CBAC infrastructure is a file server and the domain controller, and the client computer, and the central access policy admin client, and a file server admin client. Central access policy admin client, it defines the client definitions. The client definitions like what claims you want to involve. Say, for example, if you look at the user account, it has 1,000 attributes. Now, as a central access policy admin, you don't want to fetch all the 1,000 attributes onto the user's token. As a part of claim definition, you're going to define that. What claims you want to have onto the, in the central access policy conditions. Now, once you define the claim definitions, now you can assign user and device claims. Now, as a part of claim definition, you're going to say that in my central access policy condition, I need a claims of user's country and department. Then you're going to define that. Now you are going to set that users to what value. And you, as a part of claim definition, you are going to define the three things like claim, and what is the type, data type, and what are the possible values of that. Then he is going to assign user and device claims, and to what users he wants to have that values and device claims, what are the values. Now, central access policy admin client enables the central access rules and policies using the GPCAP protocol. GPCAP is a file format protocol, which in turn has two logical parts. One is part on the file system, one part is under the Active Directory. The physical part on the file system, it says that where is that access policy stored on the Active Directory. Now, once this part is done, the claim definitions are pushed onto the file server. Like as Elisa explained, sort of skin stack, then where the resource properties are posted on the file server. Now on GPU intervals, and then these central access policies are moved onto the file server using the GPTAP protocol. The claim definitions are posted onto the file server through LDAP protocol. Now, file server admin client is going to set the classification rules. If there is a remote admin client, this FSRF protocol is going to help you to carry the classification rules. The classification rules, you can set the regular expressions, like say for example, I have a document where it contains SSN details, then tag me as HPI, something like that. Then file server admin client is going to use CAPR interface. He's going to retrieve like what central access policies are pushed onto the file server. Then when he puts that, he's going to get the CAP IDs. Using the CAP IDs, he's going to fetch the central access policy from the Drupal server to present to the UI. Now he's going to select, basically he's going to configure the central access policy onto the file share using SMB protocol. SMB set information method of the SMB protocol will update that security descriptor with the CAP ID. And that CAP ID, based on the CAP ID, during access evaluation, file server will get the access rule, basically access rule associated with the CAP ID. Now coming to the client, client and file server is try to negotiate an authentication protocol. First, say he selected authentication protocol. Then Kerberos or PKCA is involved to get the ticket with the TZT from the Active Directory TDC. And KDC, because the claims are configured, in Windows 8, it will try to ask for the claims. Because the claims are configured, KDC try to fetch the claims, user and device claims associated with user from the Active Directory. And those information is enveloped in back data structure. This information, like user device clients and other instruments like group membership, KDC will respond to the client, and this will be enveloped in pack data structure. Now, client is trying to make an access request on the file service, and basically it contains the service ticket, and service ticket has a pack data structure which has authorized information. Then, file server is trying to connect the resource manager for accessing, and this access check algorithm is described in MSDTYP document, like what is the access rules, other system enables trans to decide access, check whether the user, particular user has access to or not. Then the result is sent back to the resource manager and sent back to the file service and sent back to the client computer. This is a case like where file server and client computer and domain controller all are in Windows 8 environment. The next slide, I'm going to talk about the down level client. This is a case like where you have a down level curve clients. The same entities are involved here, and these steps are exactly the same. I'm going to talk about what is the difference from that. Now here it's selected agreed on authentication. But here, he's not going to get the user and device claims because he doesn't have a capable to request. Client, down-level client doesn't have a capable to request for the claims. Then here in this step, file access request, client makes a request to the file service. But this file share has claims, central access policies are conquered, then he's going to fetch claims using SFU protocol, basically curb extension, using S4U2 self extension on behalf of the user. It's going to fetch the claims. But here is only is going to get fetch the user claims. And this if you have file set with both user and device, this now is not going to work. Then when file server makes the SFU self for you extension request, then it gets the claims associated with the user. Then it makes call to the resource manager for access check, and this access check result is sent back to the file server. This is a down-level call client. Other case where like where authentication is protocols agreed as an NTLM, what will happen? I'm going to talk about that case. This is irrespective whether it's a Windows 8 client or Windows 7 client. The entities involved in this is same as there. Same as explained earlier, admin client is going to define the definitions and associate the user and device claims onto the users. Basically, that claim difference is, includes both user device and resource properties, and is going to set the access rules. Then definitions are pushed onto the file share, so that that will come as a part of classification tab under the file share. Then central access policy, which is coming, will be part of the security tab. And the classification rules is going to, administrator is going to set that how he want to classify his file shares or file documents, like documents basically. And first IDs, then the central access policies, and configure the what are the policies it makes sense to enable it. Then here the client come into the picture. Now both are try to agreed as a NTLM as a authentication agreed authentication protocol. Then to complete authentication, APDS will come into the picture where password authentication will be involved. Then it gets authorization information associated with the user. But at this point of time, it doesn't have any claims associated with that. Then SFU come into the picture and gets the claims from the KDC, and KDC in turn have the AD. This part is covered in EDTS document, how the KDC, what methods is, abstract methods is used to fetch the Active Directory. That makes the access check request. Then access check is, for resource manager, it makes a request authorized system. Then it results sent back to the bank computer. Sure.
On the previous example with the down level client,
sure.
Something I don't understand is, sorry, make it back up. So the client here is say Windows 7, but everything else in this environment is Windows 8. Why is it that the client can't consume the new pack with claims? I thought that was just sort of opaque data from the client's perspective.
To answer that question is. Down-level call clients doesn't have the data structure called client. There is a data structure tag client info where it's going to set the ask for the claims. There is a data structure tag client info. There is one of the flag is claims bit. When you ask for the claims, then only KDC is going to issue that. That data structure is not available for the down-level call clients. Basically, this down-level call client doesn't have the capability to request the claims.
Okay, it's the request bits
exactly.
The client
yes.
Sends in the TGS request.
Exactly.
Okay. And then while you're here, could you just give a real high level of the
sure.
SFU protocol? Because I'm not aware of it. How does that delegation of the
sure.
Yeah, the TGT work?
Basically, the in my document, I explained like what is the prerequisite to invoke the SFU. This file service is running in a local system context and it's got TGT for it. And now, user request for that, what are the user requesting? It will make the SFU S for U2 self extension. There's a two extensions to Kerberos described in SFU. One is a proxy extension, other is self extension. Self is nothing but like requesting for this service on behalf of the user. There's a proxy as well that I think Mixture is going to cover that topic. And as a part of the self for your extension, you are, now this file server is going to say that I need for the X user is requesting, and that has a capability to send request the claims. That claims bit is for the file server to say that, because this file server is a Windows 8. Is it clear?
Yeah.
Then I'm going to talk about the claims transformation and the connected the document associated with that. The claim definitions are specific to a particular forest, and so in cross forest scenarios, claim needs to be examined and filtered, possibly modified and reissued from the one forest to another forest, and this entire process is known as claim transformation. And this concept is very similar to the seed filtering, but it's more powerful. Like we have set up rules to transform from the claims from one forest to other forest. That rules and grammar associated with that is described in MSCTA document, which is Claim Transformation Algorithm document. It talks about what is the algorithm is involved to transform the claims from one forest to other forest. In a high level, this is the three steps. These are the three steps associated with the claim transformation. If back from cross realm DZT needs to be decoded and filtered. Okay, once it filter, it's going to get a transformation rules from Active Directory. Active Directory schema is extended to have the claim transformation rules using LDAP protocol. It fetches the claim transformation rules. What are the rules? Like, what are the rules it has to apply to convert from the claims from one forest to other forest? Then, based on the rules and the claims needs to be transformed, is passed on to the algorithm. There is an algorithm that does transforms the claims from one forest to other forest. You know, I'm going to give a little bit on the protocol exchanges, what protocols are involved, what the protocol messages are involved in this scenario, but not all the, we have seen like there is a CPAC is involved like around 10 or 12 protocols, but this protocol is in, this example covers in the client standpoint, not the administrator standpoint. In AGVL document, I have taken one example, like reading a file from CPAC AwareShare and talking about that, what will happen, like when is a Kerberos, is it capable to, a Kerberos service ticket has both user and device claims. This can be, even file share can have only user claims, but I have explained, when you have the file share with external access policy, which has both user and device claims. And as I explained, to access the share which has both user and device claims, you need to have a compound identity authorization. I mean, authorization information associated with both user and the computer. And next one is like a down-level curve client where the service ticket doesn't have the claims associated with that user. Then SFU will come into the picture and get the claims associated with user. And NTLM as authentication protocol. Then same case, like SFU will come into the picture in this case as well to catch the claims from KVC. This is like a high-level message flow. The entities are involved from computer DC and server computer where so that there's a file server and other system. Basically, I want to connect that. What is the access check algorithm? Which documents cover that? There's a reason I had two components and the server computer to show that in that sense. Then file server and client computer try to negotiate. Then ES rec and ES response is interact with the KDC component of the DC. TGS request, as a part of TGS request, it depends on service ticket for the file service. Then, as a part of session setup request, it will write to pass the service ticket to the file server, and so that file server makes a decision whether the user has right permission to access that. Yeah. Then I'll try to connect the share using the SMBT tree, connect the request and response messages. Then you'll try to get the handle to create request. Then when it invokes create request, the file server in turn makes the calls to the authorized system or via file resource manager. And we have like FSA document where it talks about NTFS file system, like what file server is passed to the NTFS file system. Then file system or resource manager, which is like a described in MSFSA document, makes a call to the authorized system. Basically, it uses the access check algorithm there in MSDTYP. Then it will give a result back to the response with the access side. What are the access rights users allowed? then it makes a read request. Read response, then close request and close response. And here I couldn't able to explain that what is inside the ASREC data section, but document explained that. As a part of ASREC, what are the pre-op data section is client is trying to say. Basically, setting the client bit and asking for the fast or component identity. Those part explain the document. This is like talking about the down level curve client, where client computer doesn't have the capability to request the claims. The flow is same as that. The only difference is at this point of time, we try to make the as per U2 self extension, where it asks for the claims associated with the user, is making the request, and get that request. And as a part of SMB2 create request, then it makes call to the authoring system through file system resource manager. Then the result is sent back to that. It read and remain flow is same as that. And in case of NTLM, exactly the flow, this is like to complete authentication, APDES is basically APDES is a document which it makes the password authentication like secure channel and password credentials to the DC and it gets the netlog and validation signing for data structure where it contains authorized information associated with user. But this doesn't have the claims associated with that. It has to make the TGS request as per U2 self extension to get the claims associated with the user. And the remain flow is same as earlier examples. I was focusing to cover on these two topics, these two, because what data structures involved when the authorization data structures involved and when there's an NTLM is authentication, a Git authentication protocol, and how this file server fetches the claims associated with that. That's it. Then, if you have questions, if there is a specific authentication question, and which goes here, and if there is an authorization specific question, Pranav is here, they'll be able to answer their deeper questions.
Thanks, Ganga.
Okay, that's good.